Welcome to The Howl, ladies and gentlemen, podcast for Solros Lobos and friends alike on the Alpine campus. We will sit and talk with the who's who of SRSU about events, departments, and anything on brand. You're invited to join and learn how we're far from ordinary. Welcome back, everyone, 2024. Hooray, woo-hoo, wherever you're watching, go ahead and just do one of those or do one of those. There you go. Show them. Thank you very much. Do one of those, please. It helps. We're really excited that you're here. We're excited to start up this podcast again this year. It's gone for a little bit, but hey, it's all good. We get to continue, we get to trudge forward, and we get to show you all the cool things that we got going on this year. With the spring semester, we're in spring 2024, full swing here. We're in February, the second month of the year. And it's just an exciting time for us to get reacclimated to campus and to go to events and to really link up with one another. Students, faculty, staff, we're all just kind of ingrained within our SRSU Lobo culture going on here. Just quick plugs before we start today. I know you all know about the UC. If you don't know about the UC, go to the UC. It's happening over there. You got the cafeteria, you got the bookstore, you got the game room, you got campus activities, all kinds of folks, student life up on the second floor. All kinds of important folks that will help you through your time here at Solros. Also check out the UC TV there. Has all of the events going on throughout the month, clubs you can be a part of, organizations, events, all kinds of stuff. So watch out for that. Keep a close eye on that. And without further ado, we're going to start. All right. Our next guest today, very famous on campus. She's been here for about 2 years. She works in the Office of Civic Engagement and Student Assistance. She's also known on campus as the Lobo Pantry Lady. That's going to gain a lot of traction there about welcome, Katie Williams, to the show. Welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, it's good stuff. We're keeping that. All right. Well, before we start, we just have a few words from our sponsors. So we'll be back with Katie Williams. Since 1917, Solros State University has served thousands upon thousands of students in pursuit for a specialized education. But what makes us so special? Perhaps it's our remote destination setting in the heart of West Texas, which allows for a perfect atmosphere for gaining knowledge and skills in your field of choice. Maybe it's our small class sizes with a student-to-teacher ratio of 11 to 1 on average, or 70% of our classes with less than 20 students. Maybe it's because we're ranked one of the most affordable public universities in the state of Texas. Probably because we have unmatched individual attention in and out of the classroom. Whatever the case is, with over 40 programs here, to choose from, either at the undergraduate level if you're looking to get your bachelor's, or the graduate level if you want to get your master's. You can trust that the time you spend at Solros State University will be far from ordinary. For more information, visit www.solros.edu. You can also visit go.solros.edu in order to receive updates and emails about when to apply. If you'd like to apply to Solros, you're welcome to visit applytexas.org and submit an application to Solros State University Alpine Campus, or to Solros State University Rio Grande campuses if you want to attend in Del Rio, Eagle Pass, or Uvalde. And we're back. That was a great word from our sponsor. All right, Katie. Well, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, so glad to have you. Well, we have a lot to talk about, but I want to get into pretty much the early foundational story of Katie Williams. So let's talk about how you grew up, how you got to college, that whole sort of traction leading up to when you first start going to college.
Okay, cool. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
And I have high expectations.
All right. So I actually grew up, I moved around a lot as a kid. I had parents, my dad was an educator and he was going up the education ladder to be a professor at some point. So he did teaching, he did principaling, he did superintendenting, and then he did professoring. Mm-hmm. And so we moved around a lot. I lived like in the whole first half of Texas, like the whole top of Texas from the Lubbock area to the East Texas area, Northeast Texas area. By the time I was in high school, I was in the eighth town that I've ever lived in and the sixth school that I ever went to. So my two older sisters, they went to the same, they didn't get to go to the same high school. I got to go to the same high school for 4 years. They went to three different high schools. So they give me a hard time a lot about that.
But as older siblings do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the baby. They pick on me.
There you go.
But I actually grew up, what I claim home is outside of Sulphur Springs, Texas. It is literally the country. My school, my high school, North Hawkins High School, was a 1A school in the country. There's no town. There's like a church and two houses right across the street, surrounded by fields. So like this area from Highway 19 and FM 71 between Birthright and Peerless, that's like home to me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I grew up. I went to college. I'm struggling all of a sudden.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so I grew up small town, small vibe, didn't really know much beyond the rural world. Played sports all through high school. Mm-hmm. My favorite being basketball. I was determined I was going to play college basketball. And when we started looking at colleges, my mom had a bunch of rules. My mom's a rule person. Mm-hmm. So my mom had this rule, like, I had to send my info to all the schools within like a 9 mile radius. I was like, Mom, not going anywhere near 90 miles from home.
Yeah.
Like my childhood dream was to be a hockey player. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to go north to snow, places where they had ice, and I could just live vicariously by watching hockey all the time. I don't know why. That was my goal. And I was going to go to a school that had hockey. Like that was the criteria. Mm-hmm. And then my mom came up with all these rules when school started recruiting me and like when I started looking for schools. And the 90 mile radius was one. Uh-huh. And then if anybody contacted me, I had to respond.
Okay. So establishing precedence of this is kind of the process. This is what you're expected to do. And it kind of helps you.
Yeah. Whether or not I wanted to go there, had to respond at least once. You know, I couldn't be rude to people that were reaching out to me, basically. Oh. Yeah. So I was mostly focused on basketball, but I randomly got this letter from West Point. And it was for track and field. I was like, what? Uh-huh. But apparently I was pretty decent at shot and discus. And then I went to shot and discus to state my senior year in high school. But they were actively pursuing me for shot and discus. I was like, I don't want to do that in college. But my mom had this rule, like you had to respond. And I responded. They responded back with, you're invited to come to this camp. And my mom's like, why not? And I was like, okay, let's do it. I went to West Point, a military academy, and a military base for a week. They just dropped me off. I'm on this campus with all these other people that like, oh yeah, I'm going to go to one of these three military academies. I'm like, I just learned about the military academies. So it was real, real intimidating. But when I got back, like that whole experience just transformed, what I wanted out of a college. And so I went from like big idea. I was going to go to like a D1 school. I was going to try to play D1. I was going to go somewhere with hockey. I was like looking at graphic design as my major and interest. And then all of a sudden, like completely, I want to go to a small school. If it's private, that's even better. I want the small vibe. I want people to treat me like I'm smart. All these different things just changed my outlook of what I was looking for a school. And that as soon as we got back, we just scratched and redid everything. And we started looking at new schools.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
How that experience can kind of just flip it on its head for you. Yeah. And you know, thank God for those rules because when, you know, probably be going to a large place and you would have been uncomfortable and then transferring here and, you know, you're able to have that early experience to where you built that frame of reference and you go, nope, going to flip it on its head. I'm going to go here, here, here. You have your criteria and it helps refine your search.
So yeah.
That's really awesome.
Well, and then I had weird criteria after that. So like I had criteria, like it all had to be on one location, like one, there couldn't be a major road that goes through and breaks up the campus.
So you're opening maps and you're like, nope, this is.
Yes. Like UT, I was like, hell no, I'm not going there. Like there's a major road that goes in the middle. I can't even tell when I'm on UT's campus. And I remember there was this one school, we were stopping at it and we had a tour scheduled that we weren't like looking at them athletically. And I didn't even get out of the car. I was like, Mom, I'm not going here. And she's like, really? I was like, we're done. Let's just go back home. And then there was like, as I was getting recruited, I was getting recruited by these D3 schools, and like I would have like these random criteria, like, oh, you woke me up. Like I played however many sports I played in high school, so I was up by 5:30 in the morning, and I was in bed by 8:30 at night. And this was back before I had my own cell phone. So they would call my mom. My mom would have to come wake me up sometimes, like, so-and-so's calling. And I'm like, I'm tired of being nice. Like, they woke me up. I'm not coming to your school. Like, it were random things like that that would, like, just push me over the edge. I was like, I'm not coming there.
Man,
yeah.
Vigilant.
Yeah,
vigilant.
It was. But then I don't really know how it was that rule of 90 miles. And there was a school called Austin College. I still remember, like, one day in early high school, my dad's like, you're going to go to school there. I was like, hell no. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to school there. Like, we just drove by. I'd never even heard of it. Didn't care about it. And then somehow I get a letter from them. I have to respond because that's my mom's rule. And, like, I don't know what happened from there. Like, it just was slowly becoming this fit. Mm-hmm. And then my college coach had this rule, like, you need to surprise them in a visit. So don't tell your coach that you're coming. And so we, like, scheduled a tour with admissions to see how we were treated, not as an athlete. And we've been on other campuses, like, because I was an athlete, they're like, oh, you need to major in these things. I'm like, I'm not dumb. How dare you assume that just because I play sports, I can't major in whatever I want to major
in. Sure, sure. So you undercover bossed them.
Yes, basically. Yeah. So like, we showed up and I'm pretty sure they knew that I was a recruit, but they were like, I'm not really sure, because there was like some delay before we got started with the tour. Mm-hmm. But like within 35 minutes after we had like started doing the actual tour, my coach was like at the admissions office. She's like, I know you're here now. Uh-huh. But there was something about that tour. There was something about like that campus feeling of like, you know, when you know, you know. And there was like that, like, just moment of, I think this is where I want to go.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going to the small liberal arts college within 90 minutes of home, called Austin College. That's so great. Yeah.
Awesome. So, man, what a story.
Yeah, it's random. Yeah,
my finding college story is very boring, and I'm glad to hear like a very involved story. So you get into Austin College, right? Pretty much, what's your experience there? I'm guessing it was your undergrad.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, cool. Yeah. So yeah, what were your biggest takeaways getting your undergrad?
So college, I think this was before the word imposter syndrome came about, but I 100% had imposter syndrome. So I was top of my class in undergrad. Top of my class in high school. And all of a sudden, I'm like thrown on this campus with a ton of other people that are the top of their class. And here I am, rural, grew up in the country, have this weird little country twang. And I'm all of a sudden with all these people that are from suburbia. Mm-hmm. And they have access to things I've never even heard of. They're being majors in things that I'm like, I don't even know anybody that works in that field. Right. And so like, there was this really intimidating vibe of like, am I cut out for this type of thing? And so that was an adjustment. I eventually got over it. I eventually found my rhythm, but that was an adjustment. But I remember that first week of school, I don't know if I still had that like deer in the headlight look or whatnot, but it is. I tell students all the time, come to my office with that deer in the headlight look and I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll figure what you need.
And they're like, what do you mean?
That look. I think it was like our opportunities fair, and I must've looked like I was still terrified of the world. And the chaplain on our campus was like, Katie, dumber people than you have survived Austin College. And I was like, wow, like what? And it's such a stupid thing to say, but like that became my mantra for the
best.
It was. And like, it's still like my mantra to this day. I'm like, dumber people have survived the situation. Uh-huh. Dumber people have like, I went back to my door, but I wrote it on a sticky note, but like, I think it was the Toy Story T-Rex on it. And like, dumber people than you have survived Austin College. So yeah.
I think that was the first meme that was ever made.
Maybe. That's amazing, but right? That was before that's memes were, you know, a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It was
before I had like a smartphone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like posting it on campus.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
No, that's great. I love that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, write it down.
Dumber people than you have survived Sol Ross.
That's going to be That's going to be a 10 clip. Thank you very much for that. That's awesome. Cool. So you have a mantra. You have a cause. I assume you're playing basketball.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Basketball was tough too, like adjusting to basketball. I was a freshman who got to play. My freshman peers weren't getting to play. I was a starter. They weren't getting as much playing time as me. So there was a weird dynamic of friendship building because I wasn't on the sidelines with them as much to like build a camaraderie. Gotcha. So that was really hard to kind of navigate my freshman year. There was a lot of crying my freshman year. Like I still remember my mom, like I cried to my mom. I'm like, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. She's like, go tell coach you need a hug. And like, I would go and just walked into coach's office, told her I need a hug. And then everybody in the athletic department was then like, you need a hug today, Kane? I was like, yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. But the pace, like college basketball, the pace of college basketball was different. Like just how college in general, like studying and learning how to like get a rhythm and like, oh, school's like hard now. Mm-hmm. I had to learn the same thing for basketball. Like you had literally 10 minutes to learn something compared to high school where you had a whole week to learn this one drill that you're doing. And so like the pace was fast. If you didn't pick it up, that meant you weren't going to get to play. Right. Like it was just a lot more brutality is the wrong word, but like, it was this like,
sure.
If you don't like, fight or flight, right. Man, if you don't keep up, you're going to be kicked off or you're just not going to get to play. So there was a lot of pressure with that. And then I think like as the year kind of went on, there were just different things. Like slowly you got a rhythm. I learned how to study. There was a lot of like trial and error of like, how do I study? And like, I remember one time on the radio, I heard something about like, you retain more information if you like read it off of yellow paper. So I like started getting yellow notepads.
Yeah.
And the year that I had yellow notepads, I improved all my grades. And so now I have this, like, I don't know if that's really the cause of it, but I'm like, it was because of those yellow notepads. Yeah, like I tried a new strategy.
Yeah.
But then like, I learned how to like study with people. And I was like, everybody's smarter than me. I'm like the dumb one in the group. But I learned, I eventually got over that. And like the people that I was studying with helped elevate me. Yeah. And they helped like help me figure out, okay, this is how I study. This is how I need to take notes. It was no longer this intimidation thing. It's like, I pick up certain things in class and you pick up certain things in class. We get together so we can figure out what we missed in class. Mm-hmm. So like I learned how to do those type of things. And then eventually like college was just like college. I want to go back to college. Like I remember in college, like by the time we were senior, like I just want to graduate. And now I'm like, God, I just want to go back to college. Like I want to live the life of my junior and senior year, mm-hmm. play the sport I love, not have any worries in the world other than trying to find a job when I get out of college. But like, it was just the life. And like, some of my best friends are from college. That was like the first time after moving around a lot as a kid, that was like the first time, like, there are other people like me. There's like smart, nerdy athletes that also geek out about random stuff. Mm-hmm. And they like to do this kind of stuff too. And I'm like, I'm not alone in this world of like what I like.
Yeah.
And so like, it just eventually just became this home. I had a work study job. The people, I worked in the education department. So like I worked for them for 4 years. So like they were like that whole campus and different spots were just like my second home. So yeah, I loved college.
That's awesome. And so this is students, faculty, staff. Mm-hmm. There seems to be like a very deeply ingrained culture of, it seems like you're getting support from just every angle, you know, and that's just so cool. Yeah. You know, in such a, in a state where you kind of feel that fight or flight, mm-hmm. you know, and you have like this anxiety and you have this insecurity of, I don't know if this is it. The university itself kind of meets you where you're at within these smaller avenues of community and culture and things like that. And that's awesome. That's really cool.
I think that's why I like working in a small school, like, because I had that experience that I'm like, I want to know who you are. I want to know, oh, like I'm maybe the Lobo Pantry lady, but like, I know things that you don't know. What do you need? Like, I'm here to give you information. What do you need? How can I help you? Mm-hmm. And I think it's because I had those experience, like, somebody gave me a hug. Somebody was like, Katie, I'm going to teach you how to do a job. Like, so, like there was always somebody there to guide me. I never felt alone even when I felt like you were alone, you really felt alone, you actually never really were alone, if that makes any sense.
It's great. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, so Austin College, you get your bachelor's. Mm-hmm. What was your bachelor's in?
I was a sociology major. So I was a bachelor's of arts, sociology major, and an ed psych minor.
Cool. And you got your master's as well. Was that?
Yeah. So I went to Texas A&M College Station for my master's. Somewhere in my 4 years in undergrad when I was doing sociology, I ended up doing research on cowboy churches. And like that, like reinvigorated this like rurality of my identity. Like I'm a rural kid. I grew up in the country. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, I want to go back and like help improve rural communities. And so I was looking for programs. I was really looking into rural sociology, but it's like, I'm glad I didn't because it's kind of like a dead field of study now. Gotcha. Or it's like dwindling. Mm-hmm. So, but ultimately it was rural community development that I was interested. So mm-hmm. I went to College Station, did a program. I did my master's of science in agricultural leadership, education, and communication with the intent that I was going to go and like work for extension or do something in community development. And then kind of like when I got there, I kind of like had that like, oh no, I don't know if this is what I want to do crisis. But I learned a lot of things in grad school, wrote my thesis, had a great supervisor and a great boss for my job. And so I graduated from there and then ended up going to work in the nonprofit field. And my first job was with Special Olympics.
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of doesn't line up. Ag education and then Special Olympics.
Hey, that's that first job stuff going on there. No, that's really cool. Right on. Well, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
Now that we've transitioned to career, when we get back, we're going to talk about jobs. We're going to talk about different fields you've been in and then what you do here at Sol Ross.
Cool. Okay?
So awesome. Quick break. Don't touch that mouse or tab thing. We'll be right back. A lot is going on these days for so many of us, not only around the world, even day to day, in and out of class. There are many stressors and things we cannot control, and it can be overwhelming. No one knows it more than our Department of Counseling and Accessibility here at Sol Ross. We know everyone goes through it, and it's important to know that people care for you here at SRSU. Counseling Accessibility provides a supportive environment that helps facilitate positive change and promote mental health and emotional well-being. The office is staffed with licensed professional counselors who provide confidential services at no cost to Sol Ross students, staff, and faculty. Services can include individual and group counseling by appointment, workshops, presentations, and other activities promoting mental health, a comprehensive referral network to off-campus providers, and letters for accommodation. Students can also access online counseling services through Timely Care via their phone or other device. Students will be able to select from a wide-ranging menu of virtual care options from licensed counselors and providers and have access to services at no cost or insurance. As part of this partnership with SRSU, Timely Care will offer 9 free sessions. After 9 free sessions, if a student wishes to stay with their Timely Care counselor, they will have the option of paying $75 per session. For more information, call the Counseling and Accessibility Services office at 432-837-8203, or you can email them at counseling@solross.edu. And we're back with Katie Williams, ladies and gentlemen. So we left off. We were talking about your first job that you had in the Special Olympics in Texas. What was your experience with that first job right out of getting your master's degree?
Yeah, I was really excited because it was going back to sports. Like when I was in grad school, I didn't realize how much I'd miss basketball. And then I went to a college where that was the year the Aggies, the women's basketball team, won the national championship. So like it like really just stirred my heart. I'm like, oh, I miss basketball. And so I was like, how can I make rural development into like sports development type of thing? So I was also terrified at Special Olympics. I was like, I've never worked with people with disabilities. Like, I don't know anything about the culture of people with disabilities. I know sports. Mm-hmm. And so I quickly fell in love with that job. And then I quickly got this like love-hate relationship with that job. I think we all like sometimes you find that job that you're like, I love it, but I hate it at the same time. And so I learned so much. That was like one of the greatest first jobs I could have ever had. There's so much hands-on experience. I had to interact with people. I wasn't a big people person. And like my volunteers used to tell me my job was to shake hands and kiss babies. And so like I really learned how to like step into that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so I just learned a lot about interacting with people. Special Olympics is really big about inclusion. Mm-hmm. And so we modify sports to help people feel included that they can also participate in it. Right. And so like I never thought how, until like now looking back, I never thought how important like something is learning as modifying things and this concept of inclusion, how that would carry through like every career that I've ever had or every aspect of my life. Like I'm always looking through this lens now of inclusion. Mm-hmm. So that was a really cool component of that job. I quickly fell in love with volunteers. Like I loved working with volunteers. I mentioned like I grew up in the country. There was nothing for us to do in the country. And so like I was terrified to volunteer in undergrad because like we didn't really volunteer a lot. Like if I was in high school, I volunteered because I was part of student council or something like that. And usually we were doing something on campus or we went as a group to go and volunteer somewhere. And so like I didn't know how volunteering worked in college. So like we had the service station. I always wanted to go talk to them, but then I was like, I'm gonna look like an idiot because I don't know anything about volunteering. And so like I said, again, that imposter syndrome. And so like that first job was my first exposure to like volunteerism and working with people who like dedicate so much of their, like it's almost like a part-time job of volunteering. And I just fell in love with them. Mm-hmm. And that really triggered this like interest of, okay, all the volunteers I work with are baby boomers. Mm-hmm. Something's going to happen pretty soon that they're going to be like, I'm done. They're like retired. They're already retired from their job, mm-hmm. but they're like, I'm going to retire from volunteering. And I'm like, I got to replace these people. Yeah. And so at that time I was really interested in kind of tying back into higher education. Like how can I cultivate this next generation of future leaders and future volunteers? And so from there, you know, again, that love-hate relationship, I was out on the hate side of like, okay, I'm ready to leave this job because it's taking so much time out of my life. Mm-hmm. But I still wanted to give back to that job. So like I decided to make the transition to higher education and so that I could get to a position where I could cultivate like this culture of volunteerism.
Right. I always find that interesting, especially with like early workforce stuff, you know, you got your education, you kind of have sort of an avenue of where you want to be. That first job sometimes is in line with what you originally want. Maybe it's a little bit of a sidetrack mm-hmm. kind of thing, but you develop so much skills from it. And it really helps with building a lot of personability skills, you know. I don't know if you're considered like an introvert or an extrovert.
I'm an introvert, 100%.
You're an introvert, yeah. With you right there.
Yeah.
INFP.
INFJ.
INFJ.
Yeah.
One letter off.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, totally. And like you're put into these situations where you have to learn how to do that and you develop those skills and maybe you're amazing at it. Maybe you're passable, you know, you're doing it to kind of, you know, get the paycheck and things like that. But yeah. In the long run, that kind of pushes you towards where you want to go or with the more refined look. And so, I'm totally with you on that.
It's really cool looking back and seeing like, now that I do what I do, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I know how to do that because of my first job mm-hmm. or I know how to do that because I learned that particular skill in my undergrad position, work study position, or like, it's like the older I get and the more I reflect about my past jobs, it's so cool to see, like, I know how to do this because of that.
Yeah.
And like sometimes you don't appreciate those skills that you're learning in the moment. But later in life, you're like, I know how to do this because of that job.
Uh-huh. Writing emails.
Yeah.
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 Totally.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. It's a whole list of things. Cool. So you're getting out of there. Mm-hmm. Where do you go next? Where does that take you?
Yeah. So I honestly, with Special Olympics, I hit burnout. I was in a position where I didn't know how to manage it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this thing is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but it was like one of those that like, I can't handle it anymore. So I quit that job without having anything else lined up. I told my mom and my parents are great support. My mom was like, you can come back home and live with us and, you can like go back to college or something. So like I went back to grad school to get some classes. I was applying for jobs to get back in higher education, but I don't have that higher ed background. So like, it was hard to like get my foot in the door. And so I like signed up to, I was at home, I was looking for jobs, but then I was doing some grad classes. And then I go up to an event at my alma mater, Austin College, and the athletic director who knew me when I played, he's like, I heard you need a job. I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, you need to go talk to this guy. So then he takes me to the VP of Student Affairs. I go talk to him and he's like, this is who you need to go talk to. Like, it was like, I am raw. I'm like in jeans and a t-shirt. And he's like, go talk to Laura. And Laura was the director of disability services and, academic, the academic skills center. And, I'm like, I was just told to come in here. I'm looking for a job and I'm like, I it was the rawest thing I've ever done. And they called me back and like, okay, you have a job. Like, and so at like the network that you have through, I used to like be anti-network of like, no coach, you can't help me get a job. No, I don't want your help getting me a job. And then I like reached this point. I'm like, wow, this is really helpful. And so now I'm like, lean into that networking. Cause now I'll like, whenever I was changing jobs after that, I'm like, who do I know? Who can help me? Who can give me the inside word at this institution or that institution? So, I really learned a lot about that transition with networking, but I went back to my alma mater. So I worked for disability services and our, it was the academic skills center. So I helped with peer tutoring and helped train peer tutors. And then I had a caseload of students who were on disabilities. We signed them up for accommodations. And then we like worked with them to build habits and stuff like that. Also did like some skill building trainings and whatnot. So I was there for about 2.5 years. It was really great for me, really great experience. And again, it tied in this like disabilities, this culture of disabilities, this culture of inclusion. And then there was a position that showed up at Texas A&M University Commerce. And it was for leadership development, student leadership development. And I also got to do service and volunteerism. I was like, that's where I'm trying to move towards. So sometimes you gotta work the jobs to get where you want to go. And that was the next stepping stone. And I went there, was there for 4 years, did a lot with leadership development. I worked with a lot of different student groups and a lot of different cultures and races at that institution. And I learned so much, again, with that inclusion piece of how do I advocate for so many different types of students and so many different student needs. And then, yeah, that was, I was there for about 4 years.
Really cool. And so, knowing what you do now, being in civic engagement and student assistance, it's just kind of cool to see that building up and building up, kind of like a really cool origin story up until you get to this point. So I'd like to know, your experience so far. Maybe you want to go into, what civic engagement student assistance is, maybe, what your goals are, what you aim to do, and, why that's kind of relevant for our audience of students, faculty, staff, and, Soros, alumni and, folks that like Sol Ross.
So when I came to Sol Ross, this was a brand new position. It was a brand new office. So I've been here for 2 years. We really, really are just now like figuring out exactly what my office is doing. Civic engagement is this component of how am I making you and how am I preparing students to be engaged and active members of their communities and citizens of whatever community they're a part of. And so right now our focuses are like voter engagement. How do we help you understand the importance of voting? How do we get you registered to vote? And voter education through that component. And then we also focus on volunteerism and helping students understand the importance of giving back to their community and the needs for volunteerism. Like sometimes there's jobs out there that people need to be fulfilled that are unpaid, right? And in order for the community to function, we have to have those volunteers to step up and take those leadership roles. And so civic engagement is about introducing, especially here at Sol Ross, is how do we introduce that to students? How do we teach them, like, this is what volunteerism is, this is what voting engagement is, and like getting them comfortable with knowing how to navigate those parts of the community. So when they graduate, they know how to do that themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're empowered to be like, oh, I want to go volunteer for this. Or I know how to vote. I know how to register to vote. Like, this is what I need to do in that process. Mm-hmm. So that's the civic engagement side. And then the student assistance side, that's like the Mod Podge of like, oh gosh, what do you need? And then let's figure it out, type mm-hmm. of thing. So we're really just trying to create this culture of care and this culture of student-centered first culture. So I tell students all the time, come into my office, look like you have that deer in the headlight look. You don't have to know what your question is. You can just look like, I'm confused and I don't know what I'm doing. And I will work backwards from there. Like, based on all my experiences working in higher education with different students, different groups, I'm like, I will figure it out. And then I will make sure I'll help you figure out where you need to go. How do you, what do you need to say? Who do you need to talk to? This is what you need to ask them. I was very fortunate. I come from a generation of parents. Like, my dad has a PhD. I have a sister who has a PhD. Mm-hmm. All my siblings and all my, both of my parents went to college. And so I have this third generation, second generation college knowledge mm-hmm. that working here at Sol Ross, we have huge first generation population. Yeah. Sometimes you just don't know what you don't know. And I sometimes don't know what I don't know, but I don't have a problem at all calling and being like, how do we solve this problem? How do we fix this? Where do I need to go for that? And so I think the student assistance is a lot like, how do we provide that support? But we're also kind of focused on the basic needs of students. So like the Lobo Pantry falls under my office. Mm-hmm. We have a commencement closet. So the Lobo Pantry is something that students can use. We live in Brewster County. It's 2.5 hours from the nearest city. We're in a food secure county. Our neighboring county, Presidio, is the most food insecure county in the country.
Oh, wow.
And so like we are in this food desert really, and it's hard to access food. Our like food prices are rising. So it's really hard on our students. And so we have a campus food pantry. We've really kind of modified and changed who has access to it and how we let them know about it. So it's really inclusive and real accessible than it used to be. Mm-hmm. And so that's just there as an additional resource for students to help alleviate costs or just give you an additional caloric intake, whatever it is that you need. Right. But then we do things like, how are we, like somebody came up with this idea, I think it was Rebecca Prococo, with the commencement closet. Like, how do we help students that want to graduate?
Shut up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That students that want to walk and graduate, but they don't have the $50 or $60 to pay for their graduation regalia. So we started this closet where you can check out graduation regalia. Mm-hmm. So like, it's random things like that. Like, somebody has an idea like, oh, let's figure out how to address that. So mm-hmm. that's kind of what I do.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool. That's profound. I had no idea that we're kind of within this lumped area of potentially the more underprovided yeah. of, you know, provisions with food and things in yeah. the country. That's wild. That's crazy. But that's really cool that students have an outlet for that. Not only the Lobo Pantry, which is extremely profound because, you know, students are on the run. Sometimes they can't, you know, mm-hmm. go and grab a bite to eat. They got this going on, that going on, that going on. It's helpful to have non-perishable foods and fresh foods as well within a certain time to be able to go to your res hall room and to chow down, you know. Not only that, but just also access to student assisting departments and programs and things like, you know, when I was a student, I was a first generation student. I didn't know. I yeah. didn't know that there were things that I could do and people I could be around. You know, not to say that they weren't going out of their way to do that, but I wasn't a student who was like really ingrained in student culture that way. But you know, with social media and with, you know, really great people behind those, lines that are really pushing the word. It's really helpful for those that are not, you know, constantly, you know, in social events and things like yeah. that, you know,
I think
to be
we're
able to do that.
I think we're still trying to figure out too, like mm-hmm. students, like, you don't know, like as a student, you didn't know what you didn't know. Our students don't know either. And so like, I'm working blindly to be like, what do you not know either?
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, why we're focused. We're trying to transition our focus to basic needs to be like, okay, we're isolated. Sol Ross is isolated. It's a great little community. Mm-hmm. Sol Ross and Alpine are great communities, but we don't have access to a lot of other things. So like I'm learning like, okay, if somebody has a tear in their jeans, how are they supposed to solve that problem? Because there's no place in town to solve that problem, right? There's no place to buy jeans in town. Well, there's a few places that's a lie. There's a few places. There's definitely places to buy jeans in this town.
Yeah.
But like, how do you repair your own clothes, right?
Yeah.
So like, we're looking futuristically at things to be like, okay, what adulting 101 type of things can we provide? What resources can we provide? We're learning like through the food pantry. Students are like, I would cook this, but I don't know how to cook. Okay, great. So like, how do we implement cooking classes?
Right.
So there's a lot of challenges that like, okay, as we meet students and interact with students, we're like, okay, that's a good thing to know. Mm-hmm. Now I got to go figure out how to address it. And it may take us a year or two to figure out how to address it effectively. Mm-hmm. But that's how we learn how to provide our support for our students. We don't know unless you tell us
right.
That something's missing, or you don't walk by and have that deer in the headlight look and be like, oh, I don't know what I'm looking for. So sometimes like I have to meet students out. Like yesterday, for example, we had new students come to the pantry and I can tell from my office that we think we're in the right place. We're not in the right place. Our door's open, but like they are not crossing the threshold of the door because they're not sure if it's the right place. So I just walk out and I'm like, you're looking for the pantry? This is it. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I'm like meeting them where they're at to like drag them in
yeah.
so that they're a little bit more comfortable. And I think that's my approach to be like, okay, once I know what it's, I see that look, I will work with you. I'll remember your name. I'll drag you in. I'll remember your face. And I'll be like, are you doing okay? Do you need more? Do you need this?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So students,
come see me.
Use that deer in the headlights look. Yes. Perfect it. Because that's going to get your foot in the door to being able to meet Katie and other people on campus who can help you out with stuff. So just real quick, what's your best deer in the headlights look at that camera? It's pretty good.
I don't know.
That's
don't,
pretty good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
Mine's this.
Yeah, that one's that's a popular one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Or the one, there's also the one like looking down, looking up, looking around, looking down, looking up, looking
that's a good
around
one.
Like. I'm trying to confirm this information, but I don't want to ask anybody this information.
Yeah. Yeah. Where the headlight is.
Yeah.
That's the headlight. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a nuanced one. That's a good one. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
This semester, a lot of stuff going on. What do you have for us? What can students anticipate this semester?
Yeah.
I know
so
it's changing a lot.
Yeah.
Some new stuff.
We don't have like the dates verified for half of the things that we're doing this semester. I am really excited about next semester. Like I have all these ideas for next semester mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm ready to roll them out. But obviously we're in this semester, so I have to like prep this semester stuff. Mm-hmm. This semester we're really trying to like finally redefine what my office is. And so we're less probably out there. We're probably in our office trying to like build stuff and get it prepared for next year's group of students that are coming through.
Mm-hmm.
But we do, we are going to have like a Build a Lobo event. I'm not sure if it's going to be like a Lobo Pantry fundraiser or not.
Mm-hmm.
But we got the stuff to like stuff our own Lobos. Mm-hmm. And then we got these little custom t-shirts that have the little Sol Ross logo on it, the bar SR bar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm trying to decide like how we're going to like where we're going to implement it, but we're going to get like fabric markers and then you can like make your own t-shirt for your little Lobo. So you stuff your Lobo and then make your own t-shirt for the Lobo. So we're going to do that. Don't know when it's rolling out. Like I finally got confirmation of the shipment.
Mm-hmm.
We will have a produce truck for the Lobo pantry. Last year we had a produce truck and it was like the most popular thing. Our students love produce. They can't wait for the produce truck. Like that's been my number one question. When's the produce coming? And I'm like, I don't know. So we tried to schedule one. But the food bank was like, we don't have enough produce yet. And so we got to wait till it's like hype produce season, high there produce season.
Yeah.
So hopefully in April, we'll have a produce truck coming around. We're also trying to work with Alpine ISD special education. And I just talked to the Student Athletic Advisory Council last week, and they're going to partner with us to host an inclusion field day for AISD special education students.
Awesome.
So we're working on fine tuning the details for that. And then we just wrapped up, I worked with the Black Student Association Beyond Differences to, they did a service project here on campus where they packaged these, I call them hope boxes because they wrote like little messages of hope on their boxes. Mm-hmm. But they packaged supplies that was donated to the Family Crisis Center of the Big Bend. So we're doing little events like that. We also have a cleanup event with Keep Alpine Beautiful scheduled at the end of February. Mm-hmm. So there's little things that we have going, and then these are just little warm-up activities for all the fun stuff that we're going to bring next semester, next year.
So exciting.
Yeah.
I love it. A lot on the horizon there.
Yeah.
So with that being said, and with potentially new things coming up, maybe smaller projects here and there, what's the best way for students to be able to either get this information or seek any information?
Oh, that's a great point. We're still solving our communications strategies. I think the best way right now to get information is to check your emails. Mm-hmm. We always, anytime we're doing something, we blast it out to all students via email. We're working on enhancing our social media. So our social media for the Civic Engagement Office and Student Assistance is SRSU_CESA, Civic Engagement Student Assistance. And then we just started a Lobo Pantry Instagram account. So that is SRSU_Lobo Pantry. And we'll throw things out like that. But typically we'll have chalking. If it's a big event like the produce truck, we'll have chalking outside. Mm-hmm. We'll have some flyers outside. We'll try to we'll make sure people know about it. So just have your eyes open. And then next year we're hoping to have a few different more communication strategies. You can always stop by Ferguson 108. And be like, hey, what's going on? Like today, somebody's like, can I drop off donations here? I was like, yes, we want your donations. So yeah, so just stop by and we'll figure it out from there.
That's right.
Or another popular one is catch me in the cafeteria and be like, Lobo Pantry Lady, what's happening here? And then I'll tell you there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect. Lots of ways to get in contact with you. Lots of ways to converse with you and things. Bring your deer in the headlights look. Bring your smiles. Yeah, that sounds good. Well, that's basically it, but I'd like to close these episodes with some sage advice for our students. Do you have anything for our current students that you'd like to say to help them kind of get through the semester, maybe get through their whole college career here?
Yeah. So
no pressure.
I would say don't wait for other people to do what you want to do. If you really want to go to an event on campus, but none of your friends want to, drop your friends for that day, go to that event on campus. There's so many things I didn't do in college because I had that fear of doing it alone, or I was afraid nobody else is going to be there. It'll be okay. Somebody will be there. And if it's an event like me, I'll see that deer in the headlight look when you come, and I'll be like, are you doing okay? What, you want to play this, or you want to do this? Or I'll try to get you connected. But go to things that you want to get involved in. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Like I said, you literally just walk into somebody's office and have this deer in the headlight look and say, I don't know what I need to I don't know what I need to know. And somebody will help you. There's not our job is higher education. So I think sometimes it's intimidating that, these people are doing their job. Our job is you, right? Our job is you're here. Our job is to make sure that you can get through your next 4 years. So come and tell us, come give us that look, and we'll see how we can help you.
That's great. That's great sage advice from Katie Williams, AKA the Lobo Pantry Lady. Thank you so much for being here. It was an honor. It was awesome. We hope to have you back on the show again soon.
Oh, thank you.
Basically it.
All right, awesome.
Well, thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate you all being here. Thank you, and go Lobos.
Oh,
deer in the headlights.